Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, it is amazing what's taken place today. You wouldn't think this thing would ever happen. But take a look at what happened this Sunday in Waco, Texas, with potentially three large gangs, motorcycle gangs, with a shootout. I believe estimated 9 people are dead, over 150 estimated that have been shot. Take a look at this.
But I wanted to take you back to what it was like here earlier today. The shooting here at the Twin Peaks restaurant happened at about 12:15 today. We're told that there were about 5 motorcycle groups involved. From what Waco police and DPS tell me is that it all started over a parking spot. Now, a fight started inside the bathroom of Twin Peaks. It spread to the bar area and eventually outside. Now, let me paint a picture for you, and this is a little bit graphic. So picture a crowded restaurant, the majority of them bikers, punching, kicking, assaulting each other with chains and other blunt objects, stabbing each other, and of course then shooting. Now staff were told dropped to their knees. Even a patron we spoke to of a neighboring restaurant over at the Don Carlos restaurant running for cover. They were caught in the parking lot at that time. Police arrived to the scene. Of course, it was chaotic, gaining control of the scene, bikers shooting at each other, then turned their guns on police. Of course, police at that time fired back. Now, back out here live, joining me now is Sergeant Patrick Swanton with the Waco Police Department. Patrick Swanton, you've been out here all day long. Just kind of, can you characterize what this scene was like earlier?
Yeah, obviously, as it initially started, Keisha, was extremely chaotic. Our officers were here while we had active shooting going on. Individuals were firing weapons at each other. As our officers approached the scene, numerous individuals then turned their weapons towards the officers and began firing at our officers. Our officers returned fire and immediately took control of the scene very quickly. And at this point, it is now turned into a crime scene investigation where we're attempting to process hundreds of pieces of.
Our hearts go out to the people of Waco. What a tragedy. And this particular officer that's just speaking, and thank God for our law enforcement. You think about how important they were in Waco at that moment. Potentially, this officer was saying at one point that this could have easily spilt over into the lunch traffic that happens on all the church Christians that are going to their different restaurants to be able to eat after gathering up. And it's just a tragedy. But what comes to mind to me, remember, we've been talking about this prophetically. Understand, that's Texas. We're talking about 5 gangs reportedly that came out, and the violence is just unheard of. One particular officer, I believe he said he was been in law enforcement for 30 years. He's never seen in all of his history of law enforcement such violence. This is just a huge violence. But prophetically, you know, we talked about this, and that's why it's so important for us to wake up and say, we don't want this to happen in our nation. We don't want this to happen in our cities. And one way to do that is to be able to respond to God. Let's go back and watch this prophetic dream that was given to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, just a brief part of it. You can see it in its entirety on VFNTV.com. But take a look. He talked specifically in here what God was showing him about this would be taking place in America if we didn't turn. Take a look at this.
And what I saw in the dream, I first saw the most horrific gang I have ever seen. I mean, this was a demonized gang. I mean, this was diabolical. They were diabolical in their nature. I can't imagine demons being more diabolical than these people were. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. Now, I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. Cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but This was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death. And everybody, in the most cruel way, was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details here. Those are not necessary. But I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people. Matter of fact, they were ranked in these gangs. And these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. And it was just the most diabolical thing I've ever.
This is so important to understand. You can see this entirety on VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch. But this is prophecy is where God lets us know, maybe through a dream, through a vision, through some sort of encounter, about what's going to happen. Because he says nothing happens without him letting us know first. And that's a prophecy that was given prior to what we're beginning to see across the nation. And you're looking at five gangs coming together with chains. They were having shootouts in the parking lot of a restaurant in Waco, Texas. The officers were already there. The SWAT team was already there. They weren't even fearful of the presence of law enforcement. They did that in the presence of the very thing in society called law enforcement that we count on to be able to prevent that kind of thing from taking place. And they began to shoot at the officers. And the officers shot back, the reports are. And no officer was injured or definitely not hurt or killed in the process. And we thank God for officers. But if they did that in the presence of law enforcement, understand this mindset in the world today. And we're seeing this happen. We're seeing this take place. And it happened in Texas, just like the, you know, Rick Joyner was talking about how God has shown him in that prophetic dream. It was specifically in Texas. And now this is specifically in Texas, and it's gang situation. We had the Garland, Texan situation, Garland, Texas, where the ISIS, we'll talk more about ISIS after the break, but ISIS, two members related to ISIS and their own mindset, went down to a convention of journalists who were having a cartoon, whatever, and they went there, and he was going there specifically to start killing and shooting American citizens in Texas, the first Sharia court. You know, is in, I believe, in Dallas area of Texas. It's like some amazing things are taking place in our country. And it's sort of like this. The Lord says, you know, when he gave the word through the prophet Ezekiel, it says, a storm is being fashioned. You know, I'm fashioning a storm against you. But if you'll warn the people and you let them know, then if they hear that, then I'll stop this storm. The thing that I intended to do, I will change it. I'll forgive their sins and heal their lands. Listen, this thing it's prophetically, you know, we're hearing and seeing now the manifestation of the prophecy coming to pass. We have to wake up. There's people whose intentions are to do us harm, but the question is, will God allow that? Well, if we don't turn back to him, if we don't, as his people, begin to forgive and to begin to function and follow him as we're called to be. Imagine you're going to eat at a restaurant and all of a sudden there's five gangs that are together and they're going to start swinging chains and shooting guns and pulling knives and you're sitting there with your family. Do you really want this to be in your city? Do we really want this? Dear God, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, Lord God. Send revival. Turn us back to you as a nation.
This is a tragedy when you're looking at, this is in our country. This is what's taking place. You think about what's happening on the streets of Baltimore. Mm. You think what's happening. I'm reading, you know, some particular, you know, now we have Twitter and all these things taking
Instagram,
place.
Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram, but they're specifically tweeting things. And some of the, I don't know if this is alleged by some of the media out there that the musician, artist, Jay-Z is actually paying for.
I heard about that.
Yeah, paying
bail.
Tens of thousands of dollars to cover protesters who are protesting against the police to be able to get them out. And some of the things that they're tweeting that they are saying is that it was reported to somebody that was working for him.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, I see this thing blooming. I see it coming to pass, you know, and what you're looking at is the organizing concept, you know, this foaming up of an idea, and they're hoping, you know, not Jay-Z specifically, but the whole overview of who's trying to stir this thing up is, and Saul Alinsky and all those things we talk about, is to get people moving in a direction to create a momentum to accomplish something in the context of that. And you're looking at, now we have five gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Yes.
Huge gangs that happen to be riding motorcycles. They are just having a shootout this Sunday.
Wow.
At a restaurant. At a...
Twin Peaks, I believe.
Yeah, it's a franchise type restaurant.
Yeah.
They say. And so you're looking at, these things is just building and building, and it's like, you know, where is the church? We have to awake. You know, we have to begin to awake. Understand that the church has the power to be able to put everything at a standstill and turn this whole thing around. And it's not political power. It's the power to repent.
Mm.
It's the power to say, God, we see it. We know that you're in control. Like Jehoshaphat did. He goes, I see it. I know that you're in control.
Yeah.
And even though this is coming, I'm going to turn to you. And God said, you got it. That's all I wanted you to do. Now, this is what I want you to do. And God gave him a battle plan of walking out in victory as God defeated the enemy. And he didn't physically have to do anything. It was just God doing it.
Why do we forget that? Not by might or by power, but by God's spirit, you know? why do we miss this?
Well, I think that don't definitely, it's not by might.
No, it ain't.
It won't be good if you think this is a physical battle.
No.
Because God is upset.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord is very upset with us, and that we got to deal with some issues. If you missed one of our previous programs with Assistant Chief of Police David Alexander, we're talking about race in the church, you know, and how can you hate your brother and say you love God? We got to begin to deal with that as the church. But you're looking at, this is just, remember, this is exactly what was prophesied about by Rick Joyner and others, and some of the things that we have seen ourselves.
And I think it's just a glimpse. I think it's just a tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
But what was really startling is the fact that, man, this was happening in front of the police. This
they
was
were already
happening.
Their SWAT team was already. This, they didn't call them out. They were there already, and they did this knowing the police were there.
Wow.
And so, I mean, what are you going to do with your? You know, the issue is you know, we have sinned.
Yeah,
and we can turn back, and darkness, those that are held captive by darkness, will have to respond to the light.
Mm.
But if we stay in darkness and try to, you know, bury our head in the sand of denial, it'll be knocking at our doors. As a matter of fact, very specifically, I think about, you know, Pastor Kechara out of Texas.
Yes, Houston.
Yes, and how, you know, God specifically showed her that this question's coming to your door. It's coming to your house. Another Christian lady that Pat and I had a chance to speak with in South Carolina, you know, God has shown her, this is coming to your house. And it's not the sense of, you know, necessarily coming to your house, although it could be coming to your house, is that God is coming to your house. He's taking you to Mount Carmel, and he's saying, choose who you're going to serve. Because I believe he's about to purge.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? I believe that there's about to be a purging of the church. I just really believe that, you know, that the dividing line's coming, and God's going, you know, choose who you're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And one specific thing I know the Lord had shown me about is how, you know, we're called to be children of the light.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to shine in darkness, not be the darkness. But how specifically, you know, just be specific, what happened was he gave me this night vision, this dream. And in this dream, he showed me where, you know, I was talking to some young people about the Lord, and they were very excited. Some were, some left, about in their 20s. And with that, a couple of them just got excited about the Lord, you know, and they wanted to, you know, make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and to follow him and all that. And I was excited for them. I was very excited. And after that, I began to say, I said, you know, talking to them about God, and we're excited. And then they say, hey, we want to show you something. And so they took me by the hand. They were taking me very excited, as excited as they were about God. They were going to show me this other thing. And so I'm following, I'm going with them. And in that, they take me in this room, and this room is like black. It's dark. And it has this altar in it. And it was an altar to Lucifer.
Wow.
And I was trying to be calm, you know, I was trying to like, okay, I gotta be careful because they don't know yet that this is not inappropriate for children of the light. And so they lay down their bodies, John, and they press them flat on the, hug up the altar to the altar. They lay themselves flat, like every part of their flesh is flat down to the ground. And then all of a sudden this black blanket comes over them and the pentagram on the back of it. And something came out of that, like almost like a fireplace type thing, comes out like a demon or something, you know, and like just going in after these young people. And it's like, you got to make up your mind. And it is difficult. I mean, we're in a society today, it's really confusing. It is so confusing because you have, you know, so much darkness and so much gray area, you know, that the people, we forget that it's, you know, it's just yes or no, that the maybes are killing the church, and we got to begin to wake up. And we've been watered down, we've been deluded, and it's a difficult thing to live in such darkness and not experience it, not to participate or to you know, things that you don't want to do, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, you know, he said that things that I you know, I want to do, I don't do, and things I do that I hate, and he was talking about this inner struggle. Well, it's more difficult when you live in a place that has, you know, so much darkness going on, you know, and it's the name of the church, you know, things of that nature. And so I think about these gangs going on and the prophetic word that was given about that it'll spread, like ISIS is in America is part of that prophetic word. And from CBN News, they're talking about it. And what was specifically said in alignment with that word is that it's here in America. It's here in America. We saw it in Garland, Texas. But let's take a look at this and begin to look at a prophetic perspective. What are we going to do? How do you respond as the church? Take a look at this.
They're trying to put up a caliphate, and ISIS, a little group in Syria, now claims that they have a caliphate in Iraq and Syria, and it won't stop there. The vision of ISIS encompasses the entire world. And ISIS has made no secret of its desire to strike right here in the United States of America. As Eric Stackelbeck reports, it's putting foot soldiers in place to make that dark vision a reality.
It's been called the first ISIS attack on American soil when two ISIS supporters attempted to storm a Muhammad cartoon drawing contest and murder everyone inside earlier this month in Garland, Texas. The Islamic State was quick to claim responsibility. The attackers, both American citizens, were killed by a police officer before they had a chance to carry out their plan. But the attempted attack in Texas may have been a sign of things to come. From Pennsylvania to Illinois to Ohio to Minnesota to Kansas, federal authorities have arrested close to a dozen ISIS supporters in recent weeks.
We're very definitely in a new environment because of ISIL's effective use of social media, the internet, which has the ability to reach into the homeland and possibly inspire others. Because of the use of the internet, we could have little or no notice in advance of an independent actor attempting to strike.
In the wake of the attack in Texas, FBI Director James Comey said that there are potentially thousands of American citizens that now follow ISIS online. Comey has also said that the FBI is now conducting investigations into ISIS-related activity in all 50 U.S. states. In addition, U.S. authorities say some 180 U.S. citizens have traveled overseas to join ISIS, and at least 40 of them have already returned.
What they say is that their first obligation is to go to the caliphate. But if they feel that they're unable to do that, that they'll be arrested at the airport, that's when they carry out an attack here in the United States.
Abdurrahman Sheikh Mohammed was one who made it to Syria. The Columbus, Ohio resident trained with an Islamic terror group and then returned to the United States with orders to attack the homeland. He was arrested before he had the chance. Mohammed had been on U.S. authorities' radar before he left for Syria. That's why terrorism expert Patrick Poole says he should have never made it that far.
They allow him to apply for a passport, allow him to travel to Turkey. From there, he goes into Syria, trains, comes back, and he's wandering the streets of Columbus for 8 months.
Like a growing number of American ISIS recruits, Mohammed was of Somali descent. Most hail from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
an area with the largest Somali Muslim population in North America.
We've also got to revisit these visas, these humanitarian visas. We have so many people here from places like Somalia with major Islamic terror problems, and we keep letting them into the country. Why are we doing that?
National security expert Ryan Morrow told CBN News that's one way the United States is heading down a dangerous path.
You'll have Sharia patrols in places like the UK, and that's not what we're facing here in the United States, so it's hard for us to believe that that's where we're headed. But if you want to see the future of the United States, you have to look at Europe.
The goal of ISIS and its growing network of followers in the West is to turn American and European cities into guerrilla war zones, with attacks similar to those seen recently in Ottawa, Paris, Sydney, and Texas occurring on a regular basis. Former Pentagon spokesman J.D. Gordon told CBN News that to defeat this threat, the Obama administration must first acknowledge that it exists.
The White House can't even name radical Islam as the enemy. Radical Islam's trying to wipe us out, and the White House, Barack Obama, won't even mention it.
Ignoring the threat won't make it go away. ISIS recently boasted of 71 trained soldiers in 15 different U.S. states and promised that the attack in Texas was only the beginning. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
Thanks, Eric. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great country. We've got over 300 million people in America. We have the most powerful armed forces in the world. There's nothing that could even come close to our strength. We have a tremendous strength. And why should we be afraid of a few dozen nutty radicals wandering around in pickup trucks? But we are, because somehow or another we've lost the ethic, the elan, if you will, which has drawn us together as a nation. We give up the founding principle of America, which is Christianity, a belief in the Bible, belief in God Almighty. When we've given that up, we haven't, we're helpless. And so it's reflected in the fact that these crazy fanatics can come loose in small segments of the population and do terrible. What can they do? Well, they can put a bomb in, and they can go for a radiological bomb. They can go for a dirty bomb. And one day, they may even be able to import a real nuke, which could do terrible damage. So it's like your body. If your body is strong, if your immune system is strong, you don't get disease. Your body is strong enough to overcome the diseases. It's only when your immune system is weakened and your body is weakened that these diseases can take you. Our body should be strong, and if it's strong, it should be strong and nurtured with the knowledge of our fundamental freedoms, the knowledge of what the history of our country is, and especially the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Bible. That's what made this country strong. We give all that up, well, the inner man, immune system gets weak, and it's subject to attack by little viruses like this thing that's coming along. Now, here's the deal. We've got a president who refuses to acknowledge that ISIS is a problem, refuses to acknowledge that Islam is not peaceful. We had a president before, George Bush, who said Islam is a religion of peace. It's no such thing. Islam means submission. It doesn't mean peace. It means submission. Submission to the Quran, submission to what they want to believe. Now, as long as we're strong, that's not a problem. It's when we become weak that it becomes a problem. Now, we have a booklet here. You really ought to read it. It's very well written by experts who know the subject matter, know Arabic, know the Quran. This has to do with the past history of Muhammad, where he came from, what he said in the Quran, what he said in the Hadith. We'll give this to you free, but you really need to have it. Boy, if we are not informed on this thing, these guys are going to take us, and it's just a shame to think that a nation as great as America, as powerful as America, as free as America, would in any way be subject.
That's just so powerful. We're going right to break. But listen, this is a statement that was said that I thought was pretty significant. If we're not informed of this, they're going to take us.
Wow.
Pat Robinson. I mean, is this not, we're seeing so much prophetic fulfillment, you know, what we've been talking about. And
almost daily, I think about it. I mean,
hourly.
Yeah. I mean, just recently, this biker gang, 9 people murdered.
5 gangs, 150 people approximately shot. A shootout.
A shootout
at a restaurant in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how many people were there with their families that could have been heard. I mean, apparently there was, I believe, a Don Carlos a restaurant in that same type of a plaza.
Right next door.
And people leaving had to duck down on the ground. And I think about what Kamal Saleem said about 450 terrorist jihadists that are presently...
450,000.
Yes,
the
thousand.
The 450,000. Kamal Saleem with Coup Ministries said that reports by the Border Patrol at some point was 450,000 radical jihadists have come over our borders.
That they know of. And right. It makes me think about Chavez, the senator from Utah, who's interviewing Jay Johnson, the Homeland Security Director.
Right, which he was actually in that video. There was oh, you know, we're concerned about Facebook.
Turn it off. How about removing their page?
It's like, well, you know, since we got
ISIS
company,
has a page. Do you think we can take his page off?
Well, think about this. They're closing down. They're trying to close down bakeries who are baking a cake or something.
They shut Kirk Cameron down for the movie. Yeah.
But they're not even thinking about, okay, if radical jihadism is being launched through social media on a company called Facebook, cancel their page, turn their page off. But so it just feeds into the.
It helps the narrative. Yeah.
It helps the narrative, and as a matter of fact, even I don't know if we even have Jay Johnson where he's talking about, he's on C-SPAN saying that he needs to stand up as the administration for Islam.
The plight
the Muslim, and it's like, well, it shouldn't be applied against anyone. But at this present time, when there's 5 gangs and a restaurant having a shootout with law enforcement, each other, and not only that, imagine if you first went to a journalistic event in Garland, Texas, and there you had, a couple ISIS jihadist terrorists outside with guns trying to shoot you, and by God's grace, and thank God for the police, that one police officer shot the 2 ISIS guys in Garland, Texas, before they came in and shot the people inside. Right. So then you go, my goodness, let's just go down to Waco and get a bite to eat, a couple of hours away. Let's go to Waco and eat. And they say you're eating maybe at the Mexican restaurant right next door. What's it called?
Don Carlos.
Yeah, Don Carlos's restaurant or Twin Peaks, whatever it is. And at that point, now you have 5 gangs. I mean, this is like a bad movie. I mean, this is like all things go bad. I want you to look. This is the Homeland Security, the very one that you just saw on CBN, where he's saying, I'm just really concerned about social media and that type of thing. Listen, this is a fragment of our people, of our society. There's 300 million people in America, but the church has to awaken. And we don't awaken physically in a physical response, but we actually awaken spiritually and turn to God, and God begins to turn things. As a matter of fact, watch the Homeland Security right now. Of all the things he could be saying, because he just talked about social media, look what he's saying right now in regards to what he feels his job is and the government's job is to...
Homeland Security.
Take a look at this.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country and the discrimination that they face. And so I've personally committed to speak out about the situation that very often people in the Muslim community in this country face, the fact that there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world and that the Islamic faith is one about peace and brotherhood.
Now, how many Muslims are in America? Based on Shapiro, what do you
say? I think he said about 2 million. Some reports are at most 5 million.
So out of the 1.6 billion, according to our Homeland Security, then how many Muslims are in America then?
Estimated? At most 5 million.
5 million. So it's not one point. It's only 300 million people.
Hello.
And most Muslims are peaceful. They're just regular folks going, doing their jobs or whatever. But, out of 1.6 billion, they say, 15% is radicals? Well, 15% of 1.6 billion is...
200, 300 million people.
So equivalent to the population of America, that's how many people who feel that the caliphate, which is, you know, you need to operate in the context of exactly what the Quran says, which
is world domination. That's what caliphate means. It's world domination. That's why it's ISIL, the Levant, the Alpha ISIL's Levant. Yeah. It's an area.
Right.
And they just want to continue to take over land and territory. It's a kingdom that wants to be established on this earth.
And I thought it was pretty interesting, too, John. He said, you know, if you want to see the future of America, look at Europe.
Yeah.
And they have a Sharia patrol. Yeah. And Sharia patrol, these words just throw off a lot of folks because we don't put a lot of time in understanding different languages necessarily. But what they're saying is they have people that are looking at the Quran, you know, the Islamic, what you would say, their belief book. And they're going to look at you and they're going to find out if you're doing what it says. That's what a Sharia patrol. So they'd, you know, look in and see, you know, are you... I'm not telling what. I'm not going to...
It makes me think about this in Egypt. When the Muslim Brotherhood was empowered and Morsi got elected, they suspended...
Who just got a death sentence.
He's getting to that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They suspended their constitution because reports are they wanted to implement Sharia in Egypt.
And immediately Christians and Jews began to be persecuted.
Burning down houses of worship.
And so you're looking right now at this very moment. And the president Sisi of Egypt is wondering what's going on with us. You know what's happening. And if you look at one of the most powerful countries in the world, you look at one of the most powerful economies in the world, and you look at some of the decisions we're making, and you are a small country, a small economy, somebody who benefited from this huge thing called America, then you start thinking, what are they doing? Are they trying to pull one over on their parents? You know, is there something going on here? Yeah. I mean, something's weird going on. Because everybody's, I'm sure, is looking at us awkwardly. And so then I look at, we don't have it, but I was looking at just the Camp David meeting. That we just had a Camp David meeting, the president did, at Camp David. And you're looking, it's like, that was all the Islamic Gulf states that were there.
With a couple exceptions. With a couple exceptions. From Saudi Arabia, the kings didn't actually weren't present. They sent some representatives.
And I'll walk out on a small projection here. At some point, America, you're going to start seeing the spigot to oil be turned off or turned down. Because Saul Alinsky, the whole Rules for Radicals is about you've got to put pressure on, you've got to change behaviors, you've got to modify them. That's a militant effort going on. So you have them promoting this small element of pickup truck, you know, radicalists. They're allowing these things to be broadcasted across the world on a corporate website, you know, it's a corporation, and acting like and it's allowed to happen, and to get you fearful, which you don't want to be fearful. I mean, if you're a Christian, you have nothing to fear. But the fact is that if it's happening because of the fact that we are not walking rightly before God, we have a lot to fear. And so in the context of that you're probably going to see, I would just speculate, when you're looking at Camp David and you're looking at the Saudi Arabia, you're looking at Jim Baker was there in Saudi Arabia. There's a meeting that took place in Saudi Arabia just recently. You can see it at whitehouse.gov. And there's a strategy going on. And that's where a lot of this oil comes from. And they're coming against the Alaskan pipeline at the same time. Keystone Canadian pipeline, which brings oil down, which means there's going to be an oil desert at some point, which means... everything, you'd be surprised what runs on oil, electricity, these different things.
Tires, petroleum.
So imagine, here you are, you're at the local restaurant, you're having your dinner, you just left church, and suddenly there's gangs all over your city. Suddenly you don't have enough gas to even make it home. And when you get home, there's not electricity happening in your home because crisis has hit America. When people are strategizing about how can we help out the plight of 4 million folks in 300 million population here who is very strong. Yeah. Obviously, you're looking very unapologetically strong, a belief system.
Sure.
So it's like something's going on here, and it looks like a storm is being fashioned.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible.
Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.